If I can't preach after that, I ain't a preacher. Thank you, Diane. What a blessing. Imagine going into heaven someday. You have your Bibles? Turn to Acts chapter 10. I want you to keep your Bibles open, your devices. We're moving through the book of Acts. And chapter 10 is a turning point. Up until this time, the only people who have come into the church so far are Jews. There has not been one Gentile enter the church up until Acts chapter 10. Jesus was a Jew. He preached primarily to the Jews. Every disciple was a Jew. All the converts up until this time were Jewish. And this is a turning point. And the conversion of Cornelius. This is a long chapter. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm just going to talk about certain parts of this chapter, and I will draw attention to certain verses. Luke, the gospel writer, is a Gentile. Isn't that interesting? He's writing this story. And the story of Cornelius is the longest of all his stories in the book of Acts. It's longer than all three accounts of Paul's conversion, this story. The story of Cornelius, it's such an important story, especially for a Gentile writer, that it is longer than what he wrote about Pentecost, including the sermon Peter preached. All of it. This is the longest story in the book of Acts, and it being so long should show us how important it is. Now, because there are 48 verses, and it would take most of the time to read all 48, I want you to skim right now as I sort of bring us up to where I want to preach about today. And I'll give you just a little synopsis of what you would know if we read all 48 verses. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. A centurion in the Roman army was a commander of 100 foot soldiers. And the text tells us that he was a religious man. Even though as a Roman, he had been exposed to the gods of the Romans and the Greeks, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, he had become monotheistic in his time in the land of the Jews. And he became a righteous person in the sense that he prayed and he gave alms to the poor. And he had learned that by studying and watching the people of the God of Israel. And the story is interesting how it unfolds. One afternoon in Caesarea, some of you have been to Caesarea with me. Cornelius had a vision where an angel came to him and called him by name and told him that God had heard his prayers and knew of his compassion for the poor. You remember years ago we had a convention president who said that God didn't hear the prayers of the Jews. Well, he hears the prayers of anybody who prays, period. If you open up your heart to God and you're sincere, there is, you know that God hears our prayers. And here was a Gentile who really had no entrance theologically, the way we think of it, but God heard his prayer. And the angel then told Cornelius to send some men to Peter and then gave him the address. Isn't that wonderful? Gave him the address to where Peter was. The next day, as Cornelius' men neared Joppa, and some of you have been to Joppa as well, where Peter was staying, Peter went up on the roof and he had a vision. And in this vision, it was like a large sheet held up by four corners. And within that sheet were all kinds of animals, many that were unclean for Jews to eat. And the voice told Peter, kill and eat. And we know that it was a vision of some sort because he didn't kill any animals and he didn't eat anything that we know of. But he did protest because as a good Jew, he knew that he couldn't have barbecue. And it was on there probably. He couldn't have certain foods. And he said, no, I have never touched anything that is unclean. And then the voice says, whatever God says is clean, you eat it. We see a major transition here. Up until this time, Jews were not allowed to eat certain foods. And while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit impressed upon him that men would soon arrive, and they did, and he invited them into his house. And then the next day he went with them to Caesarea, to the place where Cornelius was. And that's where I want us to pick up the text. If you've got your Bibles, let's look at Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 24. You with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right, good. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a human myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with Gentiles or to visit them, to go into their home. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good to you, of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Don't forget that. But accepts those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Now, I want to stop this there. He is preaching, and while he's preaching, God intervenes. I was thinking about that when I was reading this text. I would love that to happen here. Right in the middle of my sermon, the Holy Spirit fall on you guys, and we just be different. You believe something like that could happen at a Baptist church? I think it's already. Have you felt it this morning? He's here. He's with us. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. You know, I have been with this text all week. And I live with it day and night. I think about it. I go to sleep thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. Every preacher does that. And in a text as long as this one, you could go in a thousand different directions. But I wanted to go in the direction that God wanted me to go in for our sake today. That we would be ministered to by the Holy Spirit specifically as a congregation. And one of the things I've been thinking about all week is prejudice. Peter was prejudiced. I mean, big time. He did not want to go into this man's home. And he certainly would never have gone to Caesarea had all of this intervention hadn't occurred. And it did occur. And I want you to think about something I'm going to say. We all have built-in prejudices, every single person. And these prejudices, God will have to break down if we're going to be effective in His kingdom. I don't know if you've ever thought about your prejudices. In fact, I want you to do something. I want you to really think about your own prejudices, and I want you to write them down somewhere this week. I want you to write them on a piece of card just for you, the prejudices. And if you're sitting there thinking, "I don't have any," you do have some. You just think harder. I want you to write them down. I want you to make it a matter of prayer, because prejudices can impede what God wants to do in our lives. And we've got to, and only the Holy Spirit can get us through those. Three things should humble us in this area. Let me share these briefly. We're limited by our perceptions. Just because we can't perceive something from our individual vantage point doesn't mean such things aren't real. We are limited by our perceptions. Secondly, we're shaped by our experiences, our life experiences. We see the world the way we do because of our individual experiences. And sadly, in our fallen world, the color of our skin does shape our experiences in the world. A person of color experiences the world in a different way than the white person would. It's just a given, especially in the United States. I'm going to talk about this at length. And we're also shrunk by our own sin. Sin atrophies our souls. None of us come from a sinless position or an unbiased attitude. When I first heard the term recently, white privilege, have you heard that term, white privilege? Privilege, and I know the majority of my flock here today are white, but not all of this congregation is white. And I want us to think about something deeply. If I offend you today, I don't think it's me offending you. I think it's the Holy Spirit. I'll say that right up. Because everything I say to you today is solidly grounded on Scripture and what God expects of us. You know, when I heard that expression, white privilege, I balked because, you know, I grew up poor and nobody in my family had ever gone to college. You know, I had to fight. I live in the land of opportunity and I had to fight for everything that I have to be the first in my family to graduate from college, to work my way out of poverty. When I was younger, one of my dreams was I would never have to say no to my family because we were poor. I was determined not to be poor. And, you know, as a white person, I think that we live in the land of opportunity and everyone has the same chance that I had to work your way up the ladder. But that's just not true. That's just not true. In America, people of color don't start at the same place white people do. I'm sorry, they don't. They don't have the same privileges that we do. And I'm going to show that to you today plainly. I don't know, for a month or more, there is this video going around. And one of our members, I saw she put it on last night. And I said, "You messing up my sermon, Barbara Williams." Because I have that. I want you to see. Listen to me. Are you with me? Have you shut me off already? You with me? Because if the Holy Spirit is using what I'm saying today, whether it hurts or not, it's good. Whether it hurts or not, it's good. And we as a church need to be honest, if anything. So I want you to watch this video. I think it will help you understand white privilege a little better. Would you show that video, please?
Hey, line up. Line up. Everybody line up. We're about to race. Everybody line up. Shoulder to shoulder. Take off your backpack. Backpack. Line up. We're about to race. Hey, we are racing for $100 bill. The winner of this race will take this. $100 bill. Before I say go, I'm going to make a couple statements. If those statements apply to you, I want you to take two steps forward. If those statements don't apply to you, I want you to stay right where you're at. Take two steps forward. If both of your parents are still married, take two steps forward. If you grew up with a father figure in the home, take two steps forward. If you have access to a private education, take two steps forward. If you had access to a free tutor growing up, take two steps forward if you never had to worry about your cell phone being shut off. Take two steps forward if you never had to help mom or dad with the bills. Take two steps forward if it wasn't because of your athletic ability, you don't have to pay for college. Take two steps forward if you never wondered where your next meal was going to come from. I want you guys up here in the front just to turn around and look. Every statement I've made has nothing to do with anything any of you have done. Has nothing to do with decisions you've made. Everything I've said has nothing to do with what you've done. We all know these people up here have a better opportunity to win this $100. Does that mean these people back here can't race? No. We would be foolish to not realize we've been given more opportunity. We don't want to recognize that we've been given a head start. But the reality is we have. Now, there's no excuse. They still got to run their race. You still got to run your race. But whoever wins this $100, I think it'd be extremely foolish of you not to utilize that and learn more about somebody else's story. Because the reality is, if this was a fair race and everybody was back on that line, I guarantee you some of these black dudes would smoke all of you. And it's only because you have this big of a head start that you're possibly going to win this race called life. That is a picture of life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing you've done has put you in the league that you're in right now. When I say go, on your mark, get set, go! If you didn't learn anything from this activity, you're a fool.
That video is a sermon in itself. Just to think about the privileges we've, to whom much is given what? Much is required. Some of us don't even want to talk about it. Some of us don't even want to admit it. Some of us, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, people of color. Some of us don't care enough to do something to help them have more of an opportunity. Did I have opportunities that these folks didn't? Absolutely. I had many opportunities that I know they would have loved to have. Folks, just think about it. I can turn on the television or open most magazines and my race is well represented. It's in our lifetime, in your lifetime, that you have seen magazines go from all white to having people of color in them. How many cards in Hallmark until 20 years ago had any people of color on them? I mean, if I were an African American and wanted to send my mama a card, most of the cards would have white people on them. I personally remember the first time I ever went into Kmart and saw a black baby doll. I said, what? We got black baby dolls. You remember that? You all are old enough. Up until that time, what did people of color, their little children, they had white babies. Folks, we need to open our hearts and our minds about this. When I studied history, I'm a history major, all through school and so forth. Most of the history, in fact, all the history I studied was basically history about the white race and their contributions. I was never told things like, did you know the person who invented dry cleaning was black? The ticket dispensing machine that you use when you pull out of the airport or go to the movie, person of color invented that. The ice cream scoop, thank the Lord they did that. An African American ice cream scoop. Traffic lights, person of color. Potato chips. The first successful open heart surgery, then the preservation of blood, plasma, all contributions by people of color. I was never taught that, nor were you. You know what I'm saying is true. Picture books, posters, postcards. Superheroes. How many superheroes are people of color? Let's start naming them. Superman, Batman. There just aren't any people of color. Even in our movies we love, very few people of color. Favorite series, Star Wars. Darth Vader's black? No, that's his suit. He's white in the inside, on the inside. And isn't it interesting, in the very first Star Wars movie we saw, we just didn't see many people of color at all until later on. We know that Billy Dee Williams came in as Lando Calrissian. Racism is rampant. And I think the Holy Spirit is calling the church to admit this. The most segregated hour on Sunday morning is this hour. We still have predominantly white congregations, African, and my prayer is that that is changing and will change. I would love to look out on this flock and see people of all colors. And we do have some who come, and I want them to feel that I would be their pastor and love them just as I would anybody here. Prejudice, it's built in. And folks, it's hard for us to admit it sometimes. How many of you remember Groucho Marx, the comedian, the Marx Brothers? His daughter was once denied admittance to an exclusive country club because she wasn't a member. And afterwards, people in the club realized this was Groucho Marx's daughter. And they sent him a note apologizing and asking him to apply to be a member of the club. And I love what he said. He sent back, he said, I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. Just to be humorous. And then later on, they tried to push the thing and they they asked him to fill out an application, and he did. And did you know it was denied the second time because he was Jewish? And it was an all-exclusive club. And true to form, Groucho Marx, after he realized that he couldn't be a member because he was Jewish, I love what he said. He said, "My wife is not Jewish. Can she go swimming and let our daughter wade up to her waist?" You know, I, as your pastor, I have led you to begin thinking about how this city needs us. That racial reconciliation is not going to come through our government. You know that. It's going to come through our churches. And I have, for even this year, I suggested to our Alpine Village committee, you know, we have so many people of color who come and visit us at Alpine Village, and mostly they see white folks. I said, wouldn't it be good to invite our sister churches to come and send some workers to be with us, that when people of color come, that they would see somebody other than just white folks? Some would think that, you know, and I've heard, this is Trinity's and we need to do this. This is our gift. I agree with that. But it's not Trinity's. It's Jesus's. And this, we're promoting Jesus, not Trinity. And I know that Trinity can be blessed if we would do this. So this year, I had lunch with Calvin, and the committee agreed. And Calvin's church, right up the road here, they're going to send a group of people who will come in and work with us. Isn't that wonderful? And I heard somebody say, well, that we're giving a wrong impression. We're letting the people who come think that we have people of color. Well, I hope that they know that if we don't have that many members, at least we want to work together until we do have a more reflective congregation. I'm so proud of you for doing that. And I can't wait to see how this works. I mean, we're in this thing together, right? We want to help people know that when they come into God's house, they are welcome, period. Jesus suffered from discrimination and prejudice. You remember when Philip ran and got Nathanael and said, Come, we have found the one of whom Moses speaks. And you know what Nathanael said? He said, what? Nothing ever good has ever come out of Nazareth. He was prejudiced against the people of Nazareth. But didn't he have to eat his words later? Good did come out of Nazareth. And God, I want to tell you, God is working to bring his people together. And he's going to do it if he has to drag some of us into the present. And he'll do that as well. And he'll discipline us if we are continuing to be racist. South Pacific, you ever see that? There is a song that was nearly cut, but the composers in South Pacific, it came out in 1949, they fought it and said, no, we want that song in the show. And it's called, You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. You ever heard that song? 1949. And the song was about an American naval lieutenant in love with a native woman. And because they were different, they weren't allowed to love each other. And this is what the song says. 1949. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. And people whose skin is a different shade, you've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. Folks, racism is taught and caught. It's taught and caught. And what we do in our families and how you teach about race in your family, that's between you and God. But when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to teach and model what the Bible teaches. That God is no respecter of persons. That all, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And racism's got to go. Prejudice. Only the Holy Spirit can help us do that. I bought my oldest grandson the Star Trek series from the 60s. The entire series. I don't know how many hours. 50, 60, 70 hours. There is one episode, if you're old enough to remember Star Trek, and this was in the middle of 1960s, probably 66, more or less. There was an episode, and it featured two men, a master and a slave from a distant planet. They were picked up by the Starship Enterprise. And the only difference between these two men, a slave and his master, was that the slave was black on his left side and white on his right side, and the master was the reverse. And the slave was considered inferior, a little more than an animal, and the master was considered superior, yet the only difference between them was what side had black or white. Otherwise, they were the same in intelligence, in physical strength and needs. To the crew of the Starship Enterprise, this was the most ridiculous thing they had ever seen. And folks, remember, 1966, it was prophetic. We were in the middle of the most violent racial tension back in 1966. But here is Star Trek. You know what did? Star Trek was doing what the church wouldn't do. Preach the truth. And people got it. They got it from this episode. Now, in addressing the message of this text, one writer said, it's not just the unsaved that need to be converted. It's the church, too. There are many conversions, one principal conversion. But the church needs to hear this message, and there needs to be conversions among us. And I tell you, we know that Cornelius, he was a good man, as far as good is concerned. He prayed, he gave to the poor, but one thing he lacked, Jesus. He needed Jesus. And Jesus came into his life. And he was baptized, and all the folks with him. But Peter was converted too that day. Did you ever think about that? This Jewish leader of the early church was converted from prejudice and racism into a person who would talk about the love of God transcending every border in the future. Folks, when we are ingrained in a culture, only the power of the gospel will get us loose from our prison of prejudice. And folks, I don't want us to have a prejudice bone in our body. I got a phone call this week from Rufus Smith, who is the pastor of Hope Presbyterian, an African American. And he had heard about our joining services and so forth, so he has asked Patrick Tucker, Gray's Creek, who's always here in January, he's asked the two of us to come tomorrow night and talk to a group of pastors about just taking the initiative. Two pastors, a white one and a black one, bringing their people together and saying, folks, this is what heaven's going to be like. You heard Diana. Do you think we're going to have a white section in heaven and a black section in heaven? Why don't we just start practicing now, people? I'll tell you this, the two pastors I'm closest to in this city, pastors, both of them African-American, both of them are here on this stage in January. That's Calvin and that's Patrick. I'd go to them and they come to me. And folks, I am so proud that you have embraced this as well. Now, let me give you some takeaways as I'm finishing. I'm going to do four L's, okay? The first one is listen. We need to make it okay to talk about racial issues and humbly listen and to confront our prejudices. Are you willing to listen? You've been very attentive. I can't tell by your faces whether or not this is making you happy or making you sad. I hope a little bit of both. We listen first, then we learn. We can learn by talking about each other's experiences, our fears, our frustrations, our difficulties, and we need to read books and we need to watch documentaries. I tell you, these things will change the way you see life. And yesterday at Janelle's funeral, I talked about what a voracious reader she was. I mean, she's read thousands of books. She's a librarian. And I know that when she entered the world of that book, that her whole life expanded. That's what reading does. It expands your worldview. And that's what you need to do. You need to read. You need to study. You need to let the Holy Spirit work on you to make you uncomfortable in these ways. You want to die like Peter, converted from racism and prejudice. Third L, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Bear one another's burdens. Weep with those who weep. Laugh with those who laugh. You know, humor is a good thing too. The best poem, this was nominated by the UN as the best poem of 2006. It was written by a little African kid. And this was nominated to be the best poem of 2006. When I born, I black. When I grow up, I black. When I go in sun, I black. When I scared, I black. When I sick, I black. When I die, I still black. And you white fellow, when you born, you pink. When you grow up, you white. When you in sun, you red. When you cold, you blue. When you scared, you yellow. When you sick, you green. And when you die, you gray. And you call me colored. That's humor. And coming together. You know, I remember years ago when Patrick Tucker was here. Patrick Tucker looks just like the lead singer of the Temptations, if you all know the Temptations. And I said that one time. And later on, he said, I was out. And he said, Richard, don't ever say that anymore. And I said, why? And he said, because he was a crackhead. I said, no. And we just laughed about that. We'll never truly be what Jesus wants us to be until we come together and be vulnerable. Precious ones, we have an open door. So let's enter it with an open mind. Amen? Pray with me. Father, we need you today at a level that is beyond natural. We need your supernatural assistance because you have allowed it to be clear that we carry baggage of prejudice. So we cry out to you, Lord, for wisdom and honesty and humility as a church and as individual believers through the name of the one who broke down the dividing wall and made us all brothers and sisters, the name Jesus. Amen. I want to give this invitation. Would you repent with your pastor today and say, God, I'm not even sure I know all of my prejudices, but I want to know them so that I will not impede the work you want to do in my life. Will you join me to do that? And would you pray that as a congregation that we would be so warm and accepting and loving that our congregation at some point is going to reflect the community in which we live? I told Calvin, I asked him how many, Calvin right up the road here, how many white people he's got in his church. He said, got a lot visit. I said, how many members? I don't think he's got any members. I said, when I retire, I might just come up there and bother you all. He said, I'd love it. As a congregation, we know that we are in a transitional period. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And I pray that you will listen to your pastors, especially this Brazilian over here, who is really challenging us to really think through our future as a congregation. We can either think through it and follow the Holy Spirit and reflect our community, or we can die. It's that choice. Let's open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit is doing and be a part of it. Give ourselves fully to what God is doing. And it's God who adds to the church. Let's see what God is going to do. I want to give this invitation today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's live the gospel. What it says do, let's do it. And we know it says love your neighbor. And you can't be prejudiced, you can't be racist to be a Christian. You can, but you're going to be a disobedient Christian. And you're never going to be happy. You're never going to enjoy the abundant life. And I pray you're miserable till you change. That's just the way it is. I pray the Lord works in your life, just makes your life miserable until you come to the truth. And He's not going to tolerate it. And then, those of you who, like Cornelius, maybe you've got a lot of religion. Maybe you pray. Maybe you are good and you do things that are wonderful and so forth. But listen, that's enough. Religion's not enough. You need Jesus. And it is Jesus who entered Peter and changed him. And it is Jesus who entered Cornelius and changed him. And it is Jesus you need who will enter you and change you. Do you want Him? Just, Lord, come into my life. Convert me. Change me. And let me live the story that You want me to live. Do that. You can do it today. We'll celebrate with you. Any of you brave enough in your heart, if you feel the Holy Spirit lead you, to come out and say, Richard, that's me. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be baptized. I invite you to come during the song. And as we do every Lord's Day, we open up the doors of this local church that God, this is Jesus' church. Whatever He's doing, it's His church. Whether we live or die, we are Jesus's. And I'm trusting Jesus to do in us what we can't do in ourselves. I am. And maybe you're one who's been visiting with us. You've been our guest, and you know in your heart you are where God has called you. Come today. Join us. Be part of the future of what God's going to do. But however God leads, it's my privilege to stand here to receive anyone who would come. Let's stand and sing our hymn of commitment.